This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Friday afternoon before a long weekend. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Would you take investment advice from artificial intelligence? We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, budget ceiling talks appear to be making progress. We welcome in Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist with BNP Paribas based in New York. Carl, thank you for joining us today. Two big things driving the news today. First off, the impending debt ceiling deal, signs of confidence emerging from Washington. We'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But let's touch on the personal consumption expenditure report, the PCE price index, which shows that inflation is a tick higher than analysts had estimated.
Yes. Well, we're waiting till the last vote is counted in terms of really breathing the sigh of relief on the debt ceiling. But onto that income and spending data. It did show a little bit more inflation than forecasters were anticipating. But if you squint real close, the component of inflation that the Fed, the Federal Reserve, is most worried about, which we call core services excluding rents. And there's we could do a whole other segment of why I'm looking at that narrow cohort, but that's what the Fed's focused on. And that component is showing some signs of moderation. If we look at the change over the last 3 months or whatnot, it's starting to move in the direction the Fed wants to see. So a little bit of good news embedded in what otherwise looked like a not so great report. And the other inflation news was from the University of Michigan on inflation expectations over the near term and over the longer term, also showing a little bit of improvement. So again, compared to last year at this time where gasoline prices were $5 per gallon or even higher, we are starting to see some improvement on the margins with the inflation data.
You know, Carl, I've been looking at, just because inflation has been the story for the last 2 years, I have looked at, and you have too, just the sheer number of producer price index, consumer price index, the way certain categories are broken out and the exclusions in there. And my favorite one, this is a parody. Somebody was joking around Easter time, talking about the price of ham, excluding canned. as a way of measuring the price of Easter staples a couple of weeks ago, so I got a kick out of that. So now let's go to Washington. Everybody seems to agree, and this is it's kind of hard to get everyone to agree in Washington. But the White House negotiators, the House Republican negotiators, the Senate negotiators, everyone seems to believe that the debt ceiling will be raised. It's only a matter of when. And if you can get this thing done and passed and signed before the deadline in early June. But there are a lot of signs of confidence coming out of Washington, especially the idea that this will be a 2-year debt ceiling hike. We don't have to worry about this until 2025.
Well, I think it would be excellent if that happened. But as we know, both the Senate and House have left town for Memorial Day weekend already. I guess they wanted to beat the traffic. So we have the poor negotiators still stuck in Washington trying to hammer out the details. It's not totally clear that the ultimate compromise will be something palatable to both Democrats in the Senate and also the very slim Republican majority in the House. So they may announce there's a deal, but we have to be confident that it actually can make it through the vote, which was a problem back in 2011 and 2013 when deals would be crafted, but the constituency wasn't actually ready to support it. So again, positive tones here coming in, but we know Republicans have said they need 72 hours to review the bill. The X date looks like it's coming up possibly next week. Our own estimates are around June, between June 6th and June 8th. So we need a bill reviewed for 72 hours before that. So it is still getting very close to the wire here. We can't pop the champagne just yet.
Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist, BNP Paribas, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a look at how AI could be your next investment advisor.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
JP Morgan Chase is developing a ChatGPT-like software service that leans on artificial intelligence to select investments for customers. Here to discuss this possible investment development is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. Based in Washington. Mark, thanks for joining us today. And at first glance, the world of picking investments seems to be tailor-made for artificial intelligence, because when you strip away all of the future-oriented conversation, the science fiction, the apocalyptic predictions, AI is really just about processing data faster, and we have a lot more data available to us these days, and now we have a tool, potentially, that can just kind of go through the numbers a lot faster than we can do already.
Well, that's true, though I have to count myself here as a skeptic of it. I'm sure there's a heck of a lot of potential in the technology, and with lots of technologies, I think the market probably exaggerates it and gets too excited too quickly. We saw it in the internet boom, and I think we're seeing it again now. But that isn't to say I don't disagree with you that AI software is going to be able to process data a lot more quickly. The problem, though, is that in this case of JP Morgan, they're not going to be the only firm that's using it. And in order to beat the market, you have to know something before the rest of the market does and act before the rest of the market does. And if a lot of people are all playing the same game, even if it is AI informed, they're not necessarily going to beat the market because everyone else is having the same, has the same software or is able to develop the same software. So I don't know that it's going to allow us to do better than we can by just putting our money in a simple index fund. It's a really boring advice for me to say that, but for years and decades, in fact, that's been the standard advice. It's going to be very difficult to beat an index fund that you buy and hold for the long term. And I'm willing to bet that if we had a conversation 10 years from now, which I hope we do, that, it'll be better than what this the ChatGPT informed AI that JP Morgan and the other firms will come up with today.
Well, when it comes to like just the history of automation in both trading and investing, how long has this been going on? I mean, because even the old days of traders shouting in the pits of a stock exchange, whether it's in Chicago, New York, or elsewhere, that seems to have gone into the history books, and that the vast majority of trading that takes place these days is done via algorithm.
You're absolutely right, and I'm glad you bring that up. I mean, there's this notion that somehow that AI is a different in kind, not just difference in degree than what we've seen before, but it isn't. We've had AI all along for decades. I mean, we've heard about high-frequency trading. These are trading desks that are all run by computers, as you say, run by algorithm. Basically, the game that they've played is trying to figure out how to have the fastest internet connection to the floor of the exchange so they can beat their competitors by a nanosecond and so forth. So that kind of game has been playing for some time. In fact, I don't know the percentage, but well over half. In fact, as some estimates, 75, 80, 90% of all the volume on the exchanges now is run by algorithm, is run by these high-frequency traders. And so the idea that somehow AI is going to be different than what we've had, well, it's just a different, perhaps more advanced algorithm. But nonetheless, it's still the same thing that we've been seeing for some time.
And when it comes to being a financial advisor or running a fund or managing a fund, what is the value of a golden gut versus just going by an algorithm?
Well, you see, I mean, that's exactly right to even ask that question. So where we make a difference over our lifetime of building up retirement wealth has less to do with whether we pick stocks that we hope to beat the market, though in fact the odds are against us. That's the less important issue. The more important issue is how much we put in the stock market to begin with. And I'm not sure that AI is particularly well suited to deciding that question, because the question about how much you or I should put into the stock market is based on a number of personal, very personal issues about where we are in our life and how many kids we have and whether we own our house and how much debt we have and how much risk our, you know, what, how much risk we're able to tolerate. And that's not a computer-driven issue of how much risk we can tolerate. It has to do with some very subjective emotional issues, and that will never go away.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, navigating the internet with your brain.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The day is coming where you can control your phone or internet with your brain. Elon Musk says Neuralink's brain-machine interface could enter human studies soon. Joining us to discuss this game-changing technology is Matt Wren, founder of VRAR in Chicago. Matt, thank you for joining us today. Right now, as the host of the Noon Business Hour, I have to operate a control board that's in front of me, a computer. I have to move my hands. I had to press buttons. I had to make sure the timing is exactly right. Are we talking about sometime in the future where I can run this entire show through a chip in my brain?
Well, so what we're talking about is what's commonly referred to as brain-computer interface. And, you know, despite the fact that Neuralink just got approved for trial with humans, this is not a new technology. It's been around. The name for external or what's called non-invasive BCI is EEG or electroencephalography. And you can actually, there's use cases now. There's a project called the Open BCI Project where people can go and learn how to control a computer with their brain right now, today, even without the Neuralink implant.
And you've even experienced this. There is a non-invasive form of this technology. And what's it like?
Yeah, so the one that I did was it was attached to an HTC Vive VR headset, and it was basically like a big, almost like a hockey puck that was on top of the strap that you wore with the Vive headset, and it allowed me to use my brain to kind of control the movement of a red ball in a VR space, and I could just move it forwards, backwards, left, right, away from me, things like that.
And,
just by thinking about it.
And what was that like, just to see that happen without using your arms or hands or just mentally making something happen?
I mean, you know, it's a pretty simple use case. Again, I'm just moving a thing. I'm doing a very simple thing, but it took, you know, a few minutes for it to train, where it basically said, okay, think about moving the ball away, and then you do it, and it worked. I won't say it's frightening. It's kind of cool. Again, you realize you're controlling things with your mind, but it actually works. It was effective. It did work.
Now, Elon Musk has been talking about Neuralink for a long time. He does have FDA approval to study this in humans. The technology, at least as far as he's concerned, you can cure all sorts of conditions. You could imagine you're living life as a secret agent on Mars in the future, all sorts of stuff that you can do with this Neuralink implant. But he's run into some problems. There is some concern that the monkeys that the company has been using to test this technology have died. There are some sanitation concerns if we do use this technology, this invasive technology, in humans. So is it going to eventually become something invasive, or is it going to end with something you put outside of your body?
Well, that's just it. The Neuralink specifically is invasive. It is something that is actually implanted into your brain. So there's a little kind of controller, and then my understanding is that there's these electrode threads that actually go to different parts of the brain. And so, you know, obviously anything that's being inserted into the human body, there's concerns. There's a lot of concerns. And, you know, with the health aspects, and ultimately I think with some of the monkey stuff that you're talking about, the concern was actually what happened after they did their studies and they pulled them back out of the monkey brains. But, you know, that brings up a point of, you know, we think about the tech nerd uses of this. Hey, can you control your control board? Can I play video games? We need to think about the therapeutic uses of this. People who've lost the ability to speak, people who can't use their hands and type on a keyboard. There's a lot of really valid use cases for this type of technology that are very powerful. And that's, I think, why a lot of research should be done and should, you know, make the capability available.
Matt Wren, founder of VRAR in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, a preview of the sport of innovation, and then we'll look at the latest trends in summer cocktails.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Today is the kickoff of the busy summer travel season, expected to be a busy day on the roads and at the airports. And this, since is the unofficial kickoffs of summer, city officials have a reminder to be safe on the water and around the grill. We'll take a look at the sport of innovation coming up in the Noon Business Hour, and we'll get you up to speed on all the trendiest summer cocktails. WBBM Business. The markets are higher. The Dow is up 286 points. The NASDAQ is up 265. The S&P 500 is up 50 points. We have 66 degrees right now in Chicago at 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, people are hitting the road or jumping on airplanes as the getaway for Memorial Day is underway. It's expected to be one of the busiest since the pandemic. These ladies in Detroit have big plans for the weekend.
Part of our bachelorette trip. We're going to spend a lot of time at the pool, a lot of margaritas.
AAA says more than 42 million people are expected to travel 50 miles or more. That's a 7% increase from last year. Nearly 3.4 million people were fly to their destinations this holiday weekend. That's up 11% from last year. Mayor Johnson and other city leaders have outlined plans to keep the city safe this holiday weekend. He wants the full power of city government on display.
You will see me all over the city of Chicago this weekend. And I'm going to enjoy myself in one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic city in the entire world. You'll see me at special events. Apparently, I'm even throwing out the first pitch on Saturday at the Cubs game.
The mayor has promised to put more police officers on the streets over the historically violent Memorial Day weekend. He also says the city will activate its centralized emergency preparedness center to coordinate responses to violence and bad weather. It's 12:32 as the Noon Business Hour continues. Stocks are trading higher today. Joining us with the latest in what's moving Wall Street is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter based in in Indiana. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like the markets will end the week on a strong note.
It does. It's obviously the markets are taking their cue today from an expectation that a debt ceiling deal is going to be reached here fairly shortly. You know, that can always be a little bit dicey if you're depending on that to happen. But, the market seems reasonably confident. And you also have kind of that hangover from a good hangover from the standpoint of NVIDIA's earnings yesterday and their guidance, particularly in how the whole generative AI scene is a real thing and offers really big growth potential for a number of companies. So you're seeing, you know, that money flowing into tech stocks today as well.
And what's interesting is that despite all of the political reporting, which was almost apocalyptic in nature and you know, the blow by blow, he says, maybe they will have a deal, maybe they won't. Are they far apart? Are they close? The stock market always seemed fairly confident that a deal would be done in time. I mean, trading was, you know, the indices were a little lower this week, but there was no major sell-off indicating that there was a great deal of concern that there would be a default.
Right. Well, the market has seen this story before, many times before, and there have been some periods when you had some a little bit further downside action. And but ultimately, the market ramifications from the debt ceiling negotiations tend to be very, very short term. So, you know, I think the market was basically saying, listen, you know, even if something isn't reached, it will get done. There won't be a default. And any time the market has pulled back on that, it's come back quite strongly. And you know, presumably that's what we're seeing this time around as well.
And there's really not much to go off as far as the PCE report was concerned. A little bit hot, indicating that inflation is a little bit higher than expected, but not enough to force a sell-off or fears that that even steeper interest rate hikes are in the future.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a kind of a that Goldilocks report that people are really looking for, and especially, you know, this whole idea of a soft landing generated by the Fed. And you get these types of reports and it kind of gives you some idea that perhaps that can be the case. You know, we'll still see. I think those folks betting on a cut in rates later this year, I'm not sure that's going to be the case. But it'll be interesting to see if the Fed does pause at this next meeting.
And once again, the belief that the Fed is going to cut interest rates later this year is predicated on the belief that maybe there will be a slowdown or just a full-blown recession before we get to 2024. Interesting perspective I saw this morning, especially today, since this is the kickoff to the summer travel season, that maybe the American tourist is what keeps the economy out of recession. That this is kind of like the last hurrah of people spending their COVID savings, and that could be enough to keep the economy afloat.
Well, we'll see. There's certainly, you know, there are certainly consumer spending is strong in those areas of the economy in terms of travel and leisure, and it will be interesting to see if that is enough. You know, if the listeners aren't there, kind of wondering if in fact, you know, we are going to go into a recession. The canary in the coal mine on that typically is the Dow Jones Transportation Average, and that average has hung in there pretty well and is still well above its significant intermediate low of around 12,000. So, you know, as long as in our world, as long as the Dow Transports can continue to hold up and at least stay in this trading range that they have been, you know, the chances for a very severe recession are not likely. So we're watching that pretty closely to see how that behaves.
And then what's the Dow theory telling us, keying off your analysis of the Dow Transports Index?
Yeah, it is still the primary trend still has not given an all clear sign. So we are still under a bearish signal. Again, you need to have important intermediate highs in both the Dow Jones Industrials and Dow Jones Transportation Average. We haven't gotten that yet. My sense is that, you know, we've had pretty good rallies within this trading range, but I just think that, you know, we probably will stay in this trading range indefinitely. We'll cycle to the higher end of it and then pull back, and I think that's what we'll see here for at least the next several months.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast Newsletter in Hammond, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, a preview of the Sport of Innovation, an upcoming event at Wrigley Field's Gallagher Way featuring a roster of esteemed speakers from the Chicago sports world.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour, and with a preview of the Sport of Innovation, It's an event June 5th at Gallagher Way at Wrigley Field. And it brings together insights from all sorts of influential figures in Chicago sports. Welcome in Luke Tannen, Executive Director of Chicago Innovation. Luke, thank you for joining us today. And you got a bunch of people speaking at this. Since you're actually hosting this event at Gallagher Way at Wrigley Field, it would follow that you have Tom Ricketts, the executive chairman of the Cubs, on your roster on the dais at this event. Danny Wirtz, CEO of the Chicago Blackhawks. Michael Alter, the principal owner of the Chicago Sky. Sarah Spain, we worked together in radio for about 5 minutes 10 years ago. ESPN reporter and Chicago Red Stars co-owner Kevin Cross of NBC Sports Chicago. And your moderator, Luke, is my old boss, Ron Gleason, the former director of news and programming for WBBM. You heard him during the Bears coverage for many years on this station, and a man of impeccable judgment, despite the fact that he hired me.
That's great, Rebel. Yes, Ron is he's the point guard of this all-star squad that we've got, all those speakers that you listed and mentioned. We're thrilled to have them all. And, you know, Chicago Innovation, this is our second time returning to Gallagher Way at Wrigley Field on June 5th for this event, the Sport of Innovation. And really the whole point is to spotlight innovative leaders in the world of Chicago sports, discussing innovation, talking about new trends that excite them, and offering glimpses into what the future of the sports industry may hold. So I think there's a lot of interesting things that we'll all learn that day. And, you know, besides these great speakers, we'll have hundreds of attendees, lots of lawn games set up during the cocktail reception Gallagher Way, where people can win prizes by winning putting competitions, playing life-size Jenga, taking part in bags competitions, and a whole lot more. So it'll be educational and entertaining all at once.
And you talk about innovation in Chicago sports, and there has been a great deal of it in the last 3 years, a lot of it forced by the pandemic. But some of the ideas that that leagues have come up with, or that teams in Chicago have come up with, have been very interesting and almost transformative. And I would say one innovation that was forced by the pandemic, just as a condition of coming back, has been really good and convenient. That is the MLB ballpark app that allows people to order food at their seats, where it's either delivered or you go pick it up.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great example of where innovation primarily comes from. It comes from what your customers need and want, and that's a great example. And so, you know, with these speakers, we're going to really be dissecting this whole topic of innovation and talking about, you know, where do these leaders seek inspiration for innovation from? Does it always come from fans? Maybe sometimes it comes from players or staff, or sometimes it comes from places totally outside of sports. And I think a unique challenge with innovation in sports is, you know, how do you balance evolving the sport through innovation without interfering with what people love about, you know, the purity of the game or beloved traditions or the integrity of the sport? So it's an interesting thing, you know, innovation in sports that we'll be discussing. But besides that, you know, we're going to go deeper into certain topics that are changing. There's the media landscape, and how do people consume sports these days? What are team owners and broadcasters doing to reach people in the way they want to be reached? And how are teams investing in the in-person experience versus watching games at home? And technology plays a big role there, just as it does in the app you mentioned. And there's so many new and evolving technologies that are impacting sports, and everything from immersive virtual reality worlds that let you experience sports in new ways to, you know, there's sensors that improve training and fitness for players and athletes, or data tracking technologies that make sports advertising smarter than ever before. You've got the market of NFTs, which a few years ago, you know, didn't exist, and now it's changing the whole fan experience, or social media, which of course has existed for years, but more than ever before, it continues to amplify players' popularity and influence. So, you know, there's a lot in tech that we're going to discuss, and we're also going to talk about gender equity in sports today. You know, women's sports have been booming over the years, but women's sports only receive about 4% of all sports media coverage. So we'll discuss what are the real drivers of change when we consider a push towards equity here. And we'll talk about the rise of sports betting as another topic. And really, you know, we'll get to know these team owners and others on a really personal level, ask them about the best advice they ever received, how they got into sports in the first place, and hopefully more tips and lessons they've learned that apply not only to the sports industry, but to everyone.
Well, it should be a very interesting discussion. Luke Tannen, Executive Director of Chicago Innovation, the website chicagoinnovation.com. The event at Gallagher Way at Wrigley Field is June 5th, the Sport of Innovation. Still to come, the latest in summer cocktails for your warm weather socializing.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and as summer kicks off, it's time to amp up your warm weather cocktail game. Here with a host of ideas is Carly Katz, owner of Bottles and Cans with locations in Chicago's North Center and Edgebrook neighborhoods. Carly, thank you for joining us today. And we're looking at temperatures, sunny skies, upper 70s, low 80s. I'm guessing perfect weather for a full-bodied peppery cab and potentially a big slab of prime rib to go with it while you're sitting outside, right?
Perfect. Each their own, I suppose. We always like to make sure that everyone knows that they're able to drink and be happy no matter what. Me personally, I would go with something a little lighter. There tends to be, with the heat coming out, a little bit less kind of heaviness to a lot of those things so that you can sit in the sun all day. But again, to each their own.
And are there some summer cocktails that are just timeless classics? I mean, that they're in every year.
Yes. This year, more than I've seen in a while, spritzes are really kind of making a comeback, whether that's still people kind of trying to bring in a little lower alcohol conversation, just coming off of COVID, even though it's been a number of years, people are still kind of in that mindset. But spritzes can be just wonderful. It kind of gives you the ability to drink for a consistent longer amount of time, I suppose. And just like the traditional stuff of doing like an Aperol and spritz, some people do that with just soda water. Other people want to kind of fancy it up a little and maybe split some of that bitterness with Prosecco. It's really kind of what anyone wants to do, but it's also a really pretty drink. So it looks good in all those summertime photos as well.
Now, I've been told that, of course, you can break out your white pants starting on Memorial Day and wear them all the way until Labor Day. But I've also been told that rosé season starts this weekend. So you can do rosé all day and no one's going to ding you for it.
That's 100% correct. Rosé season is probably my favorite season. Only because I do love a rosé. It's come so far from, like, the white Zinfandel boxed wine.
hey, that got me through college, Carly, okay?
Again, no judgments, Rob. But there's something really, like, wonderful about a rosé in the summertime. They're fresh. They tend to be a little bit more fruit-forward, depending on kind of where in the world you are picking up or purchasing your wines from. But it's just kind of an all-encompassing. And, you know, in recent years, it's kind of turned over to be also a less woman's drink and kind of an everybody drink, which is nice to see because it's fun to see the, you know, the brosé conversation that keeps happening. But it's delightful. It's fruity. And honestly, I don't know if I find many people who don't love a rosé.
Brosé. I have not heard that term before. We're introducing people to new vocabulary words on the Noon Business Hour.
Yeah, that's, you know, I like to educate.
Well, Carly, thank you so much for joining us today. So if you want to order a rosé, a brosé, a prosecco, a Bellini, or just have that big old full-bodied cab, do so responsibly this weekend. Carly Katz, owner of Bottles and Cans, two locations in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%.
Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.